Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. I'm Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath. And in this week's episode, I'm talking about our new report that was just released today, Mastering Uncertainty, Strengthening Organizational Resilience in a Complex World. You can download the report for free at the link here in the show notes. We'll make sure that that's very prominent in the notes, whether you're looking at this in our YouTube channel or you're listening to this on our website or through your favorite podcast episode. Now, this report is really about us taking a retrospective look back at more than a decade of using our resiliency diagnosis methodology, where we have done dozens of evaluations each year looking at organizations' resilience programs, where we've looked at business continuity and crisis management programs at dozens of organizations across different industries, and what we have taken away from these in terms of trends. So all of these different evaluations and these detailed maturity models looking at the ISO 22301 standard for organizational resilience. And I want to emphasize as I talk through this that this is not theory or philosophy. This is what we've actually observed in these organizations in real time as we've conducted these very in-depth evaluations. And so we break down in the report what we see as the top strengths, the top opportunities for improvement, and then what we would recommend that organizations focus on for 2025. And why we think this report is important right now is the current global landscape, that there's a lot of just complex uncertainty going on in the world. Everything from geopolitical disruption to political uncertainty here in the United States to economic uncertainty and unpredictability around the world. And again, this report is really a product of those 10 years of our own evaluations of what's going on in the resilience space. So let's start by taking a look at the top strengths that we saw across organizations. And I'm only going to cover four of these. There are many more covered in the report. But it starts with executive commitment to resilience, that the best organizations have been able to have top management clearly and visibly committed to resilience in their organizations, that they have been willing to invest the resources that are necessary to build those programs in the organization and help their companies be resilient against disruption. The second, that these companies have operational flexibility and are able to adapt during disruption. Part of that is because they have made these investments that we just spoke about, but also because their organizational culture values ad hoc crisis leadership, the ability to assess the situation that is in front of them and be able to react and make the right decisions to take care of the team and protect their assets and their business. The third is that these organizations have strong crisis communications capabilities. They do this in two ways. They have ways of communicating across the organization using tools like mass notification, tools like Alert Media or Everbridge or OnSolve, some of the industry leaders in that space. But also they have strong, what we would think of as strong operational crisis communications, meaning that they have established a single source of truth for what's going on with a crisis. They're communicating clearly and succinctly what is happening with that crisis, and they don't allow leaders and stakeholders across the organization to be confused about what is going on. They are communicating through that single source of truth. And then lastly, the best organizations are using software to help empower their business continuity function to enable better efficiency through their business continuity process, but also to enable better data and analyze that data to provide visibility across the organization and really understand how a disruption has ripple effects in terms of impacts across the organization and really understand how those dependencies interrelate between software or technology applications, facilities, third-party service providers, key personnel, and suppliers. Now, in terms of top opportunities, areas where things could be more mature in organizations, we also see some common trends. The biggest one by far, and you've heard me talk about this on this podcast numerous times, is a misalignment between the resilience programs and business strategy. That this is where we see significant gaps between what the resilience program is trying to accomplish and the direction that the business is trying to go in terms of moving the business forward. And that misalignment is just fatal to a resilience program and fatal to the resilience leader's credibility. So we want to make sure that those things are aligned. The second is just an overly complex business resilience capability. This is where we see crisis management and business continuity plans that just sit on a shelf that are not used, or BIAs that are just too damn complicated that don't get buy-in from the organization. We see this in evaluations we do where companies have had disruptions and we ask them about their business continuity plans and they say, we don't use that thing. We didn't use it in the disruption because it's too damn hard to use. Then that's not an effective business continuity program. The third is just the lack of a formalized crisis management program. Even in a small to medium-sized enterprise, at least having a crisis plan and understanding how you're going to get your executives together, your senior leaders together to manage through a crisis is important. But you need some kind of team and some formal way of collaborating and communicating during a crisis. Having exercises that are just infrequent or shallow or that just aren't occurring at all. And then lastly, just poor cross-functional collaboration. So having a crisis team that doesn't truly represent the organization is one example of that. But also it's having multiple disparate crisis processes in an organization. We see this often where there's a process for, say, environmental health and safety. There's one for a cyber incident. There's one for a natural disaster. There's one for a physical security incident. And they're all different. And they all communicate differently, and they all have different channels up to the senior executives. And so put yourself in the shoes of a senior executive, and you have all four of these occur in a year. Why are there four different crisis processes? Why are you being approached and escalated to in four different ways? So those are the top opportunities for improvement that we have seen over the past decade. And again, these are not one-offs. These are patterns that we see again and again and again across organizations in all industries and in all shapes and sizes. So what do we recommend organizations look at for 2025? So again, start by making sure that your resilience strategy is aligned with the overall business objectives of what you are trying to achieve, what your executives and your board are trying to achieve for the organization. Second, start simple. You can build complexity in later, but you've got to do the simple thing and be able to accomplish that successfully year over year and then build upon those successes to mature the program. Third, formalize your governance and crisis management structures so that you have a sustainable governance approach in order to build and sustain the momentum of your program, that well connects into your top management and that your crisis management approach has been formalized. You should have regular, realistic exercises. At a minimum, you should do this once a year. But our best clients do this 2 to 4 times a year. Make sure that you're using dedicated software for business continuity because that's the best way to make this more than just a check-the-box activity. And finally, make resilience a strategic function within your organization, not just a compliance exercise. Lastly, I want to talk briefly about the impact our clients have seen in this space from working with us over time. The advantage we have in looking back at all of these evaluations is we can use the data to really glean some insights on how clients have been able to improve their maturity scores year over year from working with us. Many of our clients, when we did their first resiliency diagnosis and we looked at their maturity model scoring, they were somewhere in the 1.5 to 2.5 range. With continued engagement with us, many organizations moved into the 3.5 to 4.5 territory. And that shift enabled them to make faster decisions, communicate more clearly, and recover more effectively when faced with a disruption. So this report, Mastering Uncertainty, Strengthening Organizational Resilience in a Complex World is free, and it is available now at the link in the show notes. You can download it there as a PDF and begin reading and reviewing that and seeing what lessons you can take away from this report and begin using in your organization. I would love to hear your feedback. You can provide that in our private Facebook group for resiliency professionals, which you can find on our website, or you can just reach out to me directly or connect with us on LinkedIn and provide feedback in the comments there. We'll have more to share in upcoming episodes where we'll go through some of the feedback that we've heard from all of you and respond to any reader comments. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.